ॐ ज्ञानति ज्ञानन्दनासनख्या चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
So I guess you are in the Hanuman Jayanti mood, is it? Looks like that. What can we say? Hanuman. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada describes dasyam. Dasyam, servitorship, is the quality of Hanuman in particular. There are 9 processes of devotional service. 9 processes of devotional service, and one of them is servitorship. So each of these processes of devotional service, a particular devotee is known to have attained perfection in that process. Like, for example, Maharaj Pariksit in the process of hearing, Sukadev Goswami in the process of speaking, of kirtanam. Then Palat in remembering, then in offering prayers, Akrura, like that. And it carries on until we come to servitorship, and that is Hanuman. So this dasyam is the particular quality of Hanuman. And that quality is further described in the Nectar of Devotion. That quality is twofold. One, is there is the general service mood, a general attitude of willingness to render service. But then there is another level of service which is known as kinkar. Kinkar? Kinkar means the personal servant. So Hanuman is known as Ram Kinkar. Ram Kinkar because he's the dedicated personal servant. See, one can make an offering to the Lord, and one can offer milk, one can offer water, one can offer juice, one can offer so many things. But Kinkar, Ram Kinkar, he must bring what the Lord wants. So something more particular. Exactly what he wants. Sometimes very difficult tasks. But when that is what the Lord wants, then that's what is to be done. Otherwise, general service is, well, what is part of devotional service? So we see this to be a personal service, this kinkar yadasya, is requiring total dedication. So we see that Hanuman is completely dedicated. So Hanuman is a devotee of the Lord. He's worshipped as the devotee of the Lord. And because the devotee is great, therefore Hanuman became very, very famous in India and worshipped everywhere. Because we go through the devotee to the Lord. Mad bhakti puja pyadika, says Srimad Bhagavatam. We go through the devotee to the Lord. Not, therefore, the devotee is most worshipable. Aradhanam sarvesam Vishnu radhanam param tasmat prataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. Of all those who are worshipable, even more worshipable than me is the devotee. That is what Lord Shiva explained to Parvati. That is the position of of the worship. Greater than the worship of the Supreme Lord is worship of his devotee. So like in this way, we are happy to worship the devotee. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we find described that Narada Muni wanted to worship the devotee, and he looked for the greatest devotee. So after visiting several devotees and glorifying them as the greatest, each of them said, no, there is one who is greater than all of us. And it was all pointing towards Hanuman. So Narada went to Hanuman and said, Oh Hanuman, you are the greatest devotee. Where is one who is more favored by the Lord than you? You are really the dearmost one of the Lord. Your service is so wonderful, and therefore the Lord holds you very close to his heart. Oh Hanuman, give me the dust of your feet. And Hanuman said, no. How am I the dearmost of the Lord? He said, when Lord Ramachandra left this planet, he went to Ayodhya and he took everyone with him except me. Yeah. He took all the residents with him. He said, except me, and he left me behind, and I have to stay in Kim Purushavarsha. Of course, in separation of the Lord, I mean, as good as possible, we continue worshipping him, but I am not at all most favored by him. Hanuman was saying, of course, we understand that Lord Ramachandra left Hanuman behind because he was a worthy messenger, and that he who is preaching the message of the Lord is Priyakritamaha, is the greatest, is the dearmost to the Lord. That we understand. So, in this way, Hanuman was obviously chosen by the Lord. If there was any doubt, then Hanuman continued. He said, like, actually, if you think about it, the real devotees who received the favor of the Lord are the Pandavas. He said, because the Pandavas, they were graced with the presence of the Lord in their palace. In the palace he became their messenger, the guard. He was eating with them, sleeping with them. He was constantly with them. So, who can compare to the Pandavas? They received the greatest mercy of the Lord. They are the greatest devotees. And Narada was getting ecstatic and say, "Oh, Jai Pandava," and then Hanuman got ecstatic and they both started dancing in ecstasy and calling out the glories of the Pandavas, and then Narada just called out, let's go to the Pandavas, and then Hanuman said, let's go to the Pandavas, and then they were about to go, and then Hanuman said, no, I cannot go. He said, oh, Hanuman, why? Why you cannot go? And then Hanuman said, I cannot go because the way the Pandavas deal with the Lord, that's just too informal, too familiar, you know? I mean, Arjuna is just sitting with him like a friend, lying with him on the same bed, you know? I mean, I could never do such a thing, you know? So, like, after all, you know, and if I go there, I'm afraid that I will become contaminated. After all, I'm a monkey, I have to be careful, you know, I cannot afford any liberties, you know, so that I have to control my lower nature. So, in this way, Hanuman couldn't go, and Narada went alone, while chanting the glories of the Lord, on the way to the Pandavas. Hanuman In the Ramayana, so many pastimes are taking place, and we are beginning with the Balakanda, where all is prepared for the appearance of Lord Ramachandra with sacrifice and so on. Ayodhya Kanda, where Dasarath is so happy with his sons and everything is glorious. And finally, Dasarath one day announces that he is to an assembly hall. He is ready to give up the throne in favor of Ramachandra. And immediately there is a tumultuous cheer and everyone is calling out, Jai, Jai. And he says, well, I guess you're really happy to see me go. And he said, no, it's not that, it's not that. It's just that Ramachandra has so many wonderful qualities that we cannot wait to see him on the throne. And same Dasarath could not wait. So everyone was extremely happy. And then of course Kaikeyi comes and we get the Aranyakanda, we get the stay in the forest of Sita and Ram and there, and Lakshman, and then of course Marichi comes as the golden deer, and meanwhile Ravana kidnaps Sita. Takes her to the south, there's a fight with Jatayu, whose wings are cut by Ravana, but who, before he leaves the planet, mentions that Ravana took Sita to the south. So then, in the next portion of the Ramayana, comes the Kiskindha Kanda, where there we remember how there was Rishyamukha Parvat, or the mountain where Sugriva was residing. That was a place where great sages had resided, and it was there that Sugriva had taken shelter. And Hanuman was the minister of Sugriva. So Sugriva saw these two princes coming into the forest and was seeing them dressed in tree bark and not carrying weapons, but they didn't look just like ordinary ascetics. They looked very powerful. They didn't look like they were sages in a forest. They looked like they were powerful warriors. So therefore Sugriva was suspicious. And he thought that they looked like, you know, like warriors disguised like sages. And why? So he didn't trust. So he sent Hanuman, who went there in disguise. And Hanuman came as a brahmana and very nicely spoke. It is said that Hanuman spoke then exactly on the right note, not even just the right words, but even the right note. Not too high, not too low. Just the right tone had to be found. And Hanuman then, in that way, began to glorify the personality. He said, Oh, you have come here in this forest. You certainly look like great aristocratic personalities. You look, and Hanuman had taken the form of a brahmana. I don't know if I said that. He had some mystic power, so he was able to take another form. So he just took the form of a brahmana and said, you look like powerful personalities. You look as if you are not from common birth, but rather you look as if you are royal personalities. To which royal house do you belong? And in this way he inquired, and you know, I spy. And gradually Then Laxman began to speak and introduced them, and they introduced themselves. Laxman introduced Ramachandra and said, Ramachandra, he is the Yuvaraj, the crown prince of the Raghu dynasty. He is the most powerful warrior, wielder of weapons, and so many glorifications he gave of Lord Ram. And then he introduced himself, and I am his servant. He didn't say, I am his younger brother, because then he would have shared in half the mercy. So he would say, I'm his servant. And at that time, Hanuman was convinced that they were genuine and not coming for any mission other than what they were stating. They explained they were looking for Sita, who had been kidnapped by Ravana, and in the forest on the way they had met a sage named Kabanda, who had told them that Sugriva would become their ally, and that they should connect with Sugriva. So they said they had come to search for Sugriva. So Hanuman was very happy and introduced himself and took his original form as a monkey and said, actually, I am Hanuman, the minister of Sugriva. So then he took them on his back and carried them up the mountain, and in a short time they were brought before Sugriva. And then that whole pact begins, the pact between Sugriva and Ram and Laxman. A big fight ensues because Bali, the brother of Sugriva, had a family difference with his brother. It's a long story, because the Ramayana is a very long story. So you always have to watch out that it doesn't get too long. I think the garlands are beautiful, but can I give them away? Come. And the other one for Vishnu. These brahmacharis, they come here every year. Sorry, Gorkarun. There's one short. They share. They come every year now to South Africa to perform Harinam. They go all over the world. So that is very, very wonderful. Anyway, so we all know Bali, and we know how Bali got killed by Lord Ramachandra, and how the monkeys were sent to the south to search for Sita. And they could not find Sita. But finally, with the help of Sanupati, who was the brother of Jatayu, who with his vulture eyes could look at great distances, they located Sita on Lanka. And then comes the moment where Hanuman, where all the monkeys were saying, who's going to jump to Lanka? Who's going to jump to Lanka? And different monkeys said, well, I think I can jump to Lanka, but I don't know if I can come back. And Jambavan said, I can jump 700 miles, but at my age, I don't know if I can still do 800 miles. Jambavan was very old, so no one was able to go. And Hanuman didn't say anything. But then Jambavan began. And Jambavan said, but Hanuman can surely do it. Hanuman didn't speak. And then Jambavan began to describe the glories of Hanuman. And he said Hanuman once, at the time of his birth, because at that time Jambavan was there, of course, he was very old, so he knew everything. At the time of his birth, it is said that Hanuman is a combination of Shiva, of Vayu, and that Hanuman was a pregnancy of the Devatas, but in the womb of Anjana, who had been cursed. She had been cursed. She came from the celestial regions, but she had been cursed to come down because of some inappropriate behavior and become a monkey. And she was very... she got a benediction that as soon as she would give birth to a child, then she could return to the heavenly planets. So, as soon as Hanuman had taken his birth, she was ready to go. And he said, wait a minute, where are you going? You can't go. She said, well, I have to go now. I'm going back to the heavenly planets. He said, no, you can't go. She said, why? He said, because you are my mother. And I'm hungry. So then, she said, no problem. You just eat anything that is red and round. Okay. So it was night when she left. So then, as in the morning the sun was rising, it was red and round. So Hanuman jumped. He jumped into the sky and was going for the sun. And Indra thought it was Rahu. He was doing some special attack or something like that. So he took immediate action and threw his thunderbolt, right, and hit Hanuman hard on the jaw. Right, and Hanuman fell unconscious. Well, Vayu didn't like that. So it is said that Vayu, at that point, withdrew all the air from the entire universe, so everyone was suffocating. And as a result, quickly all the demigods came to pacify Hanuman, and they gave him all kinds of benedictions. And with these benedictions, he became stronger and more powerful than he already was. He could take any size and so on. And the result was, well, at the end, Brihaspati came and he told him, he gave him knowledge of which fruits he could eat and so on, so that he was also satisfied. And then Hanuman went. But later again, Hanuman was so wild and that he caused disturbance, and one sage cursed him that he would forget his power and would only remember it when he was reminded. And now Jambavan reminded him. And it is at that stage that Hanuman takes this huge, powerful form, right? He just takes this huge form, climbs on the mountain, and just takes off flying in the sky. And then on the way there was this demoness, and she had a benediction that whoever would come past her would have to enter into her mouth. And then so, as Hanuman was flying, this big mouse appeared. And Hanuman saw the mouse, and he became bigger, and the mouse became bigger. And he became bigger, and the mouse became bigger. And then she said, I have the benediction that anyone who passes here has to enter into my mouth. And then Hanuman suddenly became very small, went into her mouth, came back out, said, so, I went into your mouth. And then continued flying to Lanka. In Lanka, he was stopped by this Lanka Devi. She was like a witch that was guarding the walls. And Hanuman had taken the form of a small monkey, very small. And she said, and he was trying to get over the wall. Hey, you little monkey, where you are going? Oh, I'm just going to eat some fruits. You cannot go inside. Hanuman said, don't talk to me like that. She said, what are you going to do to me, little monkey? He said, you be quiet or I'll give you a slap. And then, you know, she said, huh? Then he reached up and gave her a slap, you know, and Lankadevi fell to the ground and was defeated. And then she revealed, actually, there is a curse that one day I will be defeated by a monkey. And that will be the end of Lanka. And okay, Hanuman entered. So Hanuman, in so many ways, had so many benedictions. And when he came to Hanuman, was a brahmachari. So it was a little embarrassing, you know, he was looking for Sita and then came in the palace in the night and there are all these scantily dressed ladies with Ravana, and he had many. Ravana was a ladies' man, he had so many, and then looking which one it was, but it said Hanuman, his mind was never disturbed by seeing all these ladies, because although he saw them even in that kind of condition, he was only thinking of Ram all the time. And because he was thinking of Ram, he was never affected by anything worldly. So it didn't distract him at all. His focus was the service to Lord Ramachandra. Anyway, he saw one lady close to Ravana and he thought, would this be Sita? But then he saw, said, no, how could it be Sita? Sita could not be peacefully lying there in separation of Ram. It cannot be Sita. It was Mandodari. Anyway, eventually found Sita in that Ashoka grove. Yeah, then he revealed himself. He carried that ring, you know. That ring that Sita had given to Ram. See, when Ram went to the forest, he had given up everything except that one ring, because it was Sita had given that as a wedding ring. You can't give away your wedding ring. You can give everything, you know. I mean, isn't it? Correct. Or anyone in disagreement? No, see. They're well trained. Yes. Yes, so even Ramachandra could, you know, the all-powerful Supreme Lord could not give away his wedding. But he sent that ring to Sita. Yeah. So many things transpired, and I don't want to just tell stories. I mean, of course, I know you like the stories. But a little philosophy also is needed. So, it's the key is devotional service. The key is to be absorbed in devotional service. Because after all, we are studying or remembering the life of Hanuman so that we can engage in sato vritti, or in following in his footsteps, not only to be entertained by some transcendental lila and so on. Of course, when the Ramayana was playing in India, you know, at the time, Ramanand Sagar made that movie, and all of India was watching. Right? All of India was watching. Even Parliament would stop if they were in session to watch the Ramayana, or the people would pull the emergency brake on the train, get off the train, go into a village, find a TV, watch the Ramayana, then go back to the train and carry on. Right? So it was very serious, you know. The Ramayana is a huge thing in India. And of course, the BJP came to power because they were taking bricks and bricks for the temple of Ram in Ayodhya. And on each brick, they wrote the name of Ram. So, big thing. So, what to say? The popularity of Lord Ramachandra knows no bounds. So everyone was highly entertained by these stories. And of course, I also agree that Hanuman is better than Spider-Man or Superman. Right? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's the best. So in that way, rightly so, rightly entertained. Right? Yeah. So there's nothing lacking. It's not that the kids in the past, you know, were poor kids. They didn't have any Spider-Man or Superman. No, it wasn't like that. No. They didn't have all these toys that they have today. You know, no electronic toys. Can you imagine what kids used to do? But you see, in India, they were playing an old game. Even Krishna was playing it in Vrindavan, where they have a stone, a stick, and a small stick, right? And the small stick is lying on the stone, and with the bigger stick, you have to hit the small stick until it flies up in the air and then whack it. Yeah? And that game, kids play it for hours, even today. Not a bad, and you try it, see if you can do. It's more difficult than, you know. It's even harder than computer games. Yeah, and sort of fun also. So, the Ramayana was most successful. In Jagannath Puri, there was one boy, he was from Jagannath Puri, and he was, during his studies, always hearing the Ramayana next door. So as a result, he failed his exam, and he just joined the Hare Krishna temple. What to do? And later he became a sannyasi. Name withheld. But he joined in Vrindavan. In the time when I was there. Yes, that was the result of hearing Ramayana, that he became a devotee. So this is the thing. By hearing the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees, we naturally become devotees. And that is our true objective. So it's engaged hearing. It's not only, oh, look at that Hanuman. Oh, no. It's like Hanuman is teaching us not to hold back. Hanuman is teaching us we will be protected also from the influence of Maya, if we get into service. It is service that is our saving grace. This a little. Oh, God, can you come and move this table? I have to stretch my leg. That's it. So, old age is setting in. So we have to engage in service if we want to rise above the influence of Maya. That is our only hope. Srila Prabhupada very expertly arranged service for us, service that fit our conditioning. We can drive around for Krishna in cars, we can play with computers for Krishna. Prabhupada had brought that philosophy of Rupa Goswami, Yukta Vairagya, which was very practical, because Yukta Vairagya means you can use anything. You can use anything if you can connect it with Krishna, in service to Krishna. Nirbandhu Krishna Sambandhu Yukta Vairagya Uchite. So that is the secret. You can use your phone, you can use anything. Yeah. All your... So, nothing denied. Therefore, devotees often have better gadgets than and better cars than many other people. They are not behind at all. They are often they're keeping up or ahead of the Joneses. And then they get a number plate for you, Krishna, or something like that. Just to kind of make it look better. Anyway, it's all right. All that is not an impediment. As long as the service is there, as long as we are engaging in Krishna's service, as long as we are enthusiastic to do something, something to glorify Krishna. Service means to glorify Krishna, because the Yuga Dharma is Sankirtan, and Sankirtan means congregational glorification of Krishna. So that's our business, to somehow or other spread the glories of Krishna. Yes. So celebrating tonight is appropriate. And we approach Hanuman to get that unwavering dedication, because that he can give us on a day like this. He can give, because that's what he showed throughout. He remained completely a faithful, dedicated servant. And we pray for the same, because it's not so easy. Externally, we may be there for many years in the temple, but who can see what is going on in the mind? The mind is not our friend. The mind is our enemy, and the mind is the reservoir of the senses, and the senses are attracted to Maya, and the mind comes up with so many thoughts of Maya because we're not absorbed in service like Hanuman. Hanuman, deeply absorbed. Yes. So that is the thing. So more service. More service. We see that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they were, it is said, they would even chant Hare Krishna between bites while taking prasada. So, I mean, that's serious chanting. Even that's different than 16 rounds and finish, bing. So we're looking for that kind of dedication. And it comes by engaging our whole being in everything. Pranir Artha Diyavacha, one's energy, one's possessions, one's intelligence, and one's words. And when we do all these things, then we are absorbed. See, if your intelligence is not involved in the service, then you're sort of an automatic pilot. Then it's not like... So we need to be fully engaged. Pranir Artha Diyavacha. Our energy, our possessions, use it all. Not from, yes, I'm serving Krishna, oh yes. But don't ask me for money. That's other matter. No. I'm always happy to come to the satsang and I offer my flower every week. Yeah, I offer a flower. But that million, I'm keeping it in the bank and getting good interest. No. Prani Artha Diyavacha. Artha also our possessions. And our intelligence must be absorbed. That is why we must read, right? We must read so that our intelligence becomes absorbed in trying to understand Shastra. Because otherwise, what is our intelligence going to think about? Yes. Going to make schemes of how to get more comfortable. And then we think, these plastic chairs are not very comfortable. We think we should think of a way to get cushions on the chairs, more comfortable chairs. And then we always think about how to improve our conditions of life, constantly. Yes, and then it will never end. Oh. So that is not, that's not beneficial. We must think from how can we improve the conditions for the Lord? How can we make it nicer? Yeah. How can we make the worship better? How can we make an offering? What can we offer to, this is like Hanuman Jayanti, alright. What can we offer to Lord, to the Lord, or to the Lord's devotee? Like this. That is the spirit. Like, in the very beginning, when I became involved in Krishna consciousness, I once went to the Bhaktivedanta Manor, and it was Gaur Purnim, and I hadn't really joined yet. I was very new. I was sort of involved, and then I was there on a Gaur Purnim, and they engaged me in rolling sweet balls. And they had like many, many devotees rolling sweet balls, right? And it was a huge room. They had a big room. And it's like 40, 50, 60 devotees rolling sweet balls. And there's an ocean of sweet balls. The whole room was filled with sweet balls, which were later going to be distributed on Harinam. And everyone was fasting. And I thought, what kind of movement is this? You know? They're fasting. And then they sit in the middle of an ocean of sweet balls. What kind of movement is this? And I couldn't understand it at the time. I was brand new. It was one of my first experiences looking at this, like, this strange people. Right? What is this? You know, some sort of fast. And then the guys surround themselves with like foodstuffs like that. I couldn't figure it out. But yes, because it's for the pleasure of the Lord. You know? We fast and cook a feast at the same time for the pleasure of the Lord. Just see. That spirit, the pleasure of the Lord is our objective. So on a day like today, we are thinking, yes, how can we glorify our Lord? How can we make arrangements to glorify the Lord? How can we spread the glory of the Lord? And when we absorb our intelligence in that way and our enthusiasm in that way, yes, then we will be alive. Then we will be on the cutting edge. Then with all our energy, we try and do something. But if we come because we want something, if we come because we want blessings for our life, if we come because we want some entertainment, if we come because we want a free meal, if we come for selfish reasons, that's still good, because at least we come, right? That's already quite good. But that's not the spirit of Hanuman. The spirit of Hanuman is different. Not concerned with any personal desire. He spent all his time, all his energy, in just fulfilling the desire of the Lord. So one story is there that it has truth, because when Srila Prabhupada was in Brazil, he said that, oh, Ram and Lakshman, they were here. He told the devotees, Ram and Lakshman were here. And he said there used to be a tunnel between here and Lanka, and Ravana would take gold. So it is said that in that area, the brother of Ravana, who was named Mahi Ravana, that he lived there. It is said that Hanuman was trying to protect Ram and Lakshman. And at night, when they were taking rest. So Hanuman, with his tail, made a fort around them. His tail grew in size, became very, very long, and just like different rings, and it became like a powerful fort. And then he would walk up and down. A little extra tail left over, and he would walk around guarding. But somehow or other, this Mahi Ravana managed to kidnap Ram and Lakshman. How? Hanuman could not figure out. So it was very, very difficult. So he went searching. He went searching. And eventually, it is said there was a lake, and it had many lotuses. And one of these lotuses was an entrance. So which one was it? Hanuman couldn't figure it out. But it was Vayu who helped him, who explained that all these, the opening and closing, was happening on air. So since he controlled air, he manipulated the air, and then the mechanism stopped. Right, so then it stayed open. So then they could find the entrance and came in. And finally, Ram and Lakshman, they saved themselves. Basically, it was said that Mahi Ravana could not be killed very easily because his life was kept in a cave. There was in seven flames in one cave, and his life in different caves, sorry, seven flames. And you had to put out all the seven flames at the same time and simultaneously kill his body, which was in another place. It was a little difficult to kill it. So Mahi Ravana was planning to make a sacrifice of Ram and Lakshman. Yeah. So what was arranged was that Hanuman came in contact with them, and Hanuman was told the time when he had to, and that he had to go to this mountain and find that cave with the flames and put out the flames. So at the same time, Ramachandra was supposed to be sacrificed, and Ram said, all right, but I'm a Kshatriya, so I wish to die with an arrow in my hand. So they gave him an arrow in his hand, and he just chanted a mantra on the arrow and didn't even need a bow. The arrow just found the heart of Mahi Ravana. So at the same time, in the mountain cave, Hanuman was trying to put out the flames, but it was difficult. He put out one, put out another one, and then the first two would come back up as he was putting out three and four. So that's like almost impossible. But then again, Vayu helped him, took away all the air, created a vacuum, and all the flames went out. And at that way, it was successful, and Mayuravana was also killed. So many stories, and all these stories show that no matter what obstacles may come, that ultimately dedication attracts superior help. And that is the same case in our spiritual life. So we should never think that, oh, these are insurmountable issues. I mean, look at it, what Hanuman had to face. Impossible. But his sincerity attracted the help of superior personalities. And that is ultimately the key to success. And therefore, amazing things can be done in spiritual life that otherwise would not be possible at all. But by the help of superiors, yes, we become empowered, then we can do. So in this way, I think we can take these points. That we can become kinkar, dedicated servants of our spiritual master, and serve him in the way that he wants. And if he doesn't ask anything particular, then we should dedicate ourselves to the general service of pushing on the Sankirtan mission, the glorification of Krishna. Then we should remember how we must follow in the footsteps of great personalities. Then we can remember that when we are deeply absorbed in always with our energy, our intelligence, our possessions, our words in serving Krishna, that Maya will not affect us. And finally, we see that if we try our best, that somehow or other we get support from Krishna. Superior personalities will assist us, and thus it will become possible to fulfill impossible tasks. And in that way, I've raised some points in this evening and for our meditation. Thank you very much. Any questions now? On paper. Or any life question. I'll take the paper. What is the best way to make your mind your best friend? Well, that's Krishna who does that. See, we can't do that. We can't make our mind our friend. It's Krishna who can take over our mind. And then the mind becomes controlled by Krishna. Then, when the mind is controlled by Krishna, attracted to Krishna, yes, then it becomes Krishna's friend. But we cannot do that ourselves. Krishna can do that by taking over our mind. Otherwise, we are dealing with a mind that is never our friend, and we should not trust the mind. Yeah, we should not trust it. Who's the real enemy? Yeah, okay. We're in war with Maya, Srila Prabhupada said. She's also in our mind. Maya is not only outside, Maya is also in the mind. Maharaj, pretty please, one more tune for a little while. Lots of smiles. Maharaj is thinking of Mangalarti tune. So just come tomorrow to Radharadana. will sing Mangalarti. Can they get the mercy of the Supreme by serving Hanuman? And can he take us to Ram? Not only can he take us to Ram, he can even take us to Krishna as well. Certainly the mercy of Hanuman is very important, because that service attitude that Hanuman has is extraordinary. So we are taking that lesson. So to actually hear about Hanuman and to glorify Hanuman is most auspicious, because it can bring us to the mood of service. Of course, when we are worshipping Hanuman, we are not going to Hanuman directly, we are going through Srila Prabhupada, who points us towards Krishna, and therefore we go to Hanuman, get the service attitude, and then bring that service back to Krishna, and in that way we'll attain Krishna. What fast does one observe on this day? There is not really a prescribed fast that we are observing on this day, not in our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. The eclipse affect our offerings today. An eclipse is always inauspicious. So if there's any eclipse of the sun, then, or moon, that is not auspicious for making offerings, or especially cooking on a day during an eclipse should be avoided, so it is stated in the scripture. But when you are doing it for Sankirtan, when there is an eclipse and there is a big function and you cook for the function, glorious cooking. When there is any offering made on that day for Sankirtan, that is transcendental, you see. And that can never be checked by such a small thing as an eclipse. Eclipse is a minuscule little thing. Think of it. The universes are coming from the poreholes of the Lord. The poreholes are quite small. And unlimited universes are coming. So what's the big deal if the light goes out in one universe? And it's like, I mean, in this room, if there's one light bulb that doesn't work, does it make a big difference? I mean, we'll get it working sometime. Yeah? But it's not such a big deal. One less, Chalega. So in this way, transcendence is always above anything. So sometimes we have had eclipse situations during a big function. We didn't cancel the function, rather we had a glorious function. But such an eclipse can be powerful. And if one is perceptive, one can actually see that during the eclipse, lower modes are present. It is an inauspicious thing. And one can see that the people, somehow or other, there is a low consciousness. And I once went to a program. And on the way to the program, we were driving in the eclipse. I could really see it, And then the program started, and I was like, heavy modes. But then, once the kirtan was going, it was all lifted, and it became a most ecstatic, transcendental atmosphere. So, kirtan beats any eclipse, and so does prasadam. What is the best way for meditation? The best way for meditation is meditation. That's the best way for eating is eating. And the best way for singing is singing. The question is not what is the best way, the question is what is meditation? So meditation is, technically speaking, called smaranam. It is stated that the chanting of Hare Krishna is happening in different stages. The first stage of that chanting is known as Sravana Das, or the period where the focus is hearing and chanting in a mechanical way. We're doing it as a process for our purification. Then as we get purified, that chanting goes deeper. And gradually, it comes to the point of smaranam, of remembrance. We begin to remember Krishna. And we begin to... Then, as that remembrance of Krishna becomes deeper, it is called jhana. Then it is called meditation. And when that meditation becomes complete, right, and mature, then it's called samadhi. Right? So then it's total absorption. So in this way we can understand that meditation, what is meditation? Yes. Our meditation is to be completely absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Lord, in samadhi. Just like Hanuman. He was always meditating on the Supreme Lord. Now, currently, so what was Hanuman doing? Yes, Hanuman was chanting the name of Ram. What else was Hanuman doing? Hanuman was lifting mountains for Ram. Hanuman was carrying the Lord on his back. Hanuman was going as the Lord's messenger. Hanuman did so many things. Right? So we also, meditation means to work for Krishna also. Prabhupada said a young boy wanted to buy a very, very expensive ring for a girl that he loved. And he spent a whole month's salary on that ring. And the whole month, he was thinking about the girl. Every moment. Never forgot it for a moment. He's just thinking, a little more money and then I can buy the ring. At the end of the month, I will buy the ring. 20 more days and I will buy the ring. 10 more days and I will have that ring. And soon, I will buy the ring. 3 more days and I will buy the ring. And tomorrow is the big day. I'm going to buy the ring. And can you imagine the look on her face when I bring that ring? Woo-hoo-hoo. And all that. So Prabhupada says like this, that's meditation, to always remember Krishna. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu. Vismartavyona jatu sit. To always remember Krishna, to never forget him. And I explained, first by chanting in practice, and then gradually hearing about Krishna in practice, and little by little something sticks. We start to hear more about Krishna, get more enthusiastic to chant, and we begin to remember Krishna. And in this way, our meditation on Krishna increases. And then, is the goal to remember Krishna? What is higher? Chanting or remembering? No, you can't say. Because when you chant, you'll naturally remember. And when you remember, you'll naturally chant. So it's a reciprocation. Hearing, chanting, remembering. This is our business. To always hear, chant, and remember. So that's how our meditation works. May we know a little more about the Lord's mood as Bhaktivatsala. Bhaktivatsala, the protector of the devotees. Excuse me. Well, Prabhupada explained that when it comes to going back to Godhead, that Krishna is more eager for the devotee to go than the devotee is about going themselves. So that's the situation. So Krishna is very eagerly making arrangements for his devotees to go back to Godhead. So therefore, Krishna is always taking the smallest service and gives the biggest reciprocation. Krishna is always helping and helping and helping us to make spiritual advancement at any stage. Sometimes Krishna gives us a difficult task. But we've heard many times Krishna will test us, but he will not give us a test that we cannot pass, because Krishna desires that we go back. You know, just as a parent, you know, you sort of want to bring up the children, and you can't just make them totally dependent on the parents. You have to teach them, do it yourself. You know, you can do it because you do it really well, actually. Yeah, very good. Okay, then. Okay, no, I do it really well. Yes. Okay. So then they try and do it, but if it gets too difficult, all right, they can still help. And parents are watching, you know, and are ready to help. So Krishna is always there to help. But gradually, he wants us to grow and take on bigger service and bigger service. That is Bhaktivatsala. He wants us to grow in our service and in our surrender, because he wants us to become a resident of the spiritual world. Today was the day to write, it was the last day to write a Vyasa Puja offering for Srila Prabhupada. And they ask, every temple can ask, one person can write. Of course, you can still write, because it goes to America, and America is 6 hours behind. Yeah. So, you know, 6 hours extra, actually. So, you know, like, basically, it goes till 6 a.m., you know, so tomorrow morning. But then you have to, only if Maritzburg Temple wrote an offering, okay, well, you can still do it and send it to, I'll write it down for the writers who can stay up all night and write some offering. Every temple has to be in there. You're a temple. Is it?
Almost.
Well, looks like one. Looks like a temple to me. Looks like good enough to send an offering. Anyway, I was smart. I did it in the day, so I don't have to stay up all night. But, you know, I'm not going to tell you the whole offering, that's too much. But at the end, well, it's simple, I can tell you. But the other day, an old well-wisher of mine said, that once Prabhupada remarked, what is the use of a guru who doesn't dance? And of course Prabhupada danced, right? He danced because Prabhupada wrote that Markine Bhagavad Dharma poem where he says that, my lord, I am a Kattara Puttali, a wooden doll. Now, Natcha Natcha Ami, Amara Natchata. Now, make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. And Prabhupada's dancing, of course, was his being an instrument in the hands of Krishna. And then, next thing, the puppet suddenly became a puppeteer, and Prabhupada, in his turn, made so many dance in his hands, just because of his dedication. Because of his dedication, because whatever, he made people who didn't even know about Krishna accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord and dedicate their life to Krishna. How? By his own dedication, by showing arguments from the scripture, by logic, by and meanwhile, by softening the heart with prasadam and kirtan. So in this way, Prabhupada conquered so many people who danced. Then I came across a quote some time ago, and the quote said that that when a man is old, then he has to do more than a young man. And I kind of like that quote, you know, and it makes sense, because after all, you're running out of time. You know, you're running out of time. This is the last chance to really do something. So it has to become more purposeful. You know, young men may play around sometimes, but, you know, no time for that. Now, focus and do it before it's too late. That's the old man. And yes, well, Prabhupada did more than any young man. Prabhupada did it. He did it. So in that way, the one thing is that is the problem in old age is weakness. Weakness. And it's actually, the problem is not weakness of the body. That can be overcome. But the problem in old age is the weakness of the mind. And therefore, I was praying for the strength to overcome that weakness of mind so that I could also dance and do something for the Lord. So yes, this is the purpose, you know, that we increase our service. So in old age, we must really do something for Krishna. Before we go out. Why do the Hare Krishna devotees not chant a Hanuman Chalisa, or can we chant a Hanuman Chalisa? No, we do not chant a Hanuman Chalisa because all these names are not actually, it is a later composition. It is not like that it is coming from authorized Vedic scripture, but rather it is a separate glorification of Hanuman by a poet, and the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas do not exactly agree with all these glorifications of Hanuman. So therefore, no, we are not chanting Hanuman Chalisa. Can women worship Hanuman as he is a celibate? Yes, I mean, just as ladies are also worshipping the sannyasi, spiritual masters, and so on. The only thing is that when when a brahmachari is present, then of course a certain etiquette is to be observed. But Hanuman is not personally present before us. We are worshipping him in his eternal form, so there's no restriction. Just as for ladies, in the worship of their sannyasi spiritual master, externally there are restrictions. Externally, the brahmacharis can travel as an assistant with the sannyasis, but sorry, no ladies. No. That will not work. So externally, there seems to be restrictions. But internally, on the eternal plane, no restriction at all. They can serve as much as anyone can. They can fully engage in the devotional service of the sannyasis, spiritual masters, or in the service of Hanuman, and fully. No restriction. With that, it's 9:15, a great time to escape. Because I'm sort of...